I'm thankful for the lessons in God's Word that we have. I'm telling you, we got 66 books, man. We've got lessons in every struggle I've ever been through in my life. I'm telling you, there's an answer in God's Word. There's an answer. Now, I may not have found it in time, or I may not have been diligent enough to search out the mysteries of God, but I'm telling you, there's an answer to every problem you've ever had right here, if you'll get in God's Word.
Hi, I'm Ken Hartley. I'm the executive pastor of worship here at Abba's House. It's been my privilege to serve here for many, many years. Worship at Abba's House is an incredibly unique thing because everyone in this congregation becomes engaged, moving to the heart of God every single week. And as the leader up here, it's a fantastic thing to watch and observe and to be a part of. This congregation loves to worship Jesus. But it's not just about what happens in here. We are privileged to have some excellent worshipers, people who are incredibly trained musicians, some who have no training at all, and it all combines together to give God glory. And it doesn't just start with the adults, it actually is with the young people too.
Hi, I'm Gayla Austin. I'm the Worship Associate for Creative Arts here at Abba's House, and we want to invite you to join us for some exciting things in the worship ministry here. Our students have amazing opportunities to use their God-given gifts in the arts to lead others in worship, not only on our campus, but in our community. We also offer opportunities in production for our students through summer theater camp and through productions on our campus during the school year. We invite you to bring your preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school student here to Abba's House to join us for the exciting things that are ahead.
So you can see there's a lot of great opportunities for young people, but there's a lot of great opportunities for adults as well. This choir, our orchestra, Zadok Ministries is what we call it, which is named after Zadok the priest, who presided over the Tabernacle of David. And this was a 33-year praise and worship service that included choirs and orchestras. And we want that here at Abba's House, but there's just one problem with it. It doesn't happen without you. Without you, it's just a bunch of empty seats. So I hope you'll join us and be a part of this, because the worship that happens here is made up of people just like you. God bless you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Abba's House. I'm so excited about Thanksgiving. I know you are too. I'm excited about eating too much and seeing my family. But you know, it's about being thankful. And so today I have a message for you, 7 things every Christian should be thankful for. You know, if you live in this country, you ought to be thankful. I travel all over the world and do mission work, and man, there are people in extreme poverty, fighting for a drink, fighting for their next morsel of food. If you live in this region here in Chattanooga, you are blessed. I hope you'll enjoy this message, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I thought tonight I would preach a message, a simple message, 7 things every Christian should be thankful for. Now, the first thing that I think every Christian should be thankful for is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. You must understand what the word Lord means. Jesus is not your homeboy.
Come on.
He's not your homie. He's not your buddy. He's not your pal. He is Lord above all and Lord of all. The word Lord is Adonai, and it means Lord or Master. It is an ownership word. It means that God owns it all. If He is the owner, we are to be His servant. If He is the master, we are to be His slave. If He is the father, we are to be sons and daughters. We are to be stewards of everything that God has given us, but He is Lord of all, which means He is master. He is above everything. That's why it says that being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every single name. So to the lost, if we confess out of our mouth, what? Lord Jesus, Lord Adonai. If we confess from our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we are saved. Now, to the church, the word says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And to the nation, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And to the disciples, to those of us who are to follow Christ, Jesus would say, why call me Lord and not do the things that I say? He is Lord above all. He is Lord of all. He is to be number one in our lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is Lord. He is all-powerful. He is our master. This is a sign of respect. Why should we call him Lord? Because he paid the ultimate price through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what he did for us, but Lord is a sign of respect. They couldn't say Yahweh or Jehovah, so Lord was a word that carried a great deal of respect. That's why I say, yes, he's a friend that sticks closer to a brother. Yes, he's a father to the fatherless, protector of widows. Yes, he is above all. But I'm telling you, there's a certain respect that comes with that kind of righteousness. And we need to make sure that we are reverent and obedient to the Lord when we come into his presence and in the sanctuary. So I'm thankful tonight for the Lordship of Christ, that he is above all my problems, all my struggles, all my sickness, all my pain, all my drama. He's above it all, amen. He's above what's in my bank account. He's above my past. He's above my present. He's above my future. He's above my problems that I'm dealing with at the moment, amen. He is above all. Colossians says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and that he is to have preeminence over all, which means he's to be first place. Is he first place in your life tonight? Is he Lord of all in your life? There are really two kinds of people in the world. There's the kind that call him Lord and they disobey, and then they're the types of people who call him Lord and they obey his commands. There are also people who don't call him Lord. But I'm telling you, as far as Christians, there are some claim that he is Lord but don't do what he says, and others know that he is Lord, and because of that, they do what he says. So we must submit ourselves to his plan, because Jesus says, not everyone who says to me will enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's more than just saying, Lord, Lord, Adonai. It's more than just understanding he's powerful. You've got to submit your life to that. He must be crowned king of your heart. If he's the Prince of Peace, then you must crown him king of your heart in order for you to receive the peace that the Holy Spirit brings. You see, you can know all the verses. You can be religious. You can even be righteous to some degree. But I'm telling you, if he's never been crowned king of your heart, then he's not Lord of your life. And I'm thankful for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that in my weakness, he's made strong. I'm thankful that in June of 05, I was able to throw down all the junk that this world had to offer and was able to say, Lord, take it, take my life. It's a mess, but take it, Lord, and do something with it. He became Lord of my life. Doesn't mean I sprouted wings and a halo came over my head. But it means I entered into the process of recreation with God, and he began to mold, and he's still molded, and I pray that he never stops that process, because that's what the Christian life's about. It's a process where God molds you and makes you what he wants you to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful, number one, for the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that he is above all, that he is Lord of my life, that he lives and he took dominion in my soul. Number two, and this is going to sound vague, but I want to dig into the riches of it. I'm thankful for the love of God. The Lordship of Christ is about who he is, but the love of God's about what he offers you and I. It's about what he's offered each and every one of us. And I'm thankful that when I'm unlovable, he loves me. I'm thankful that when I'm not worthy, he loves me. I'm thankful that on my worst day, God still loves me. And on your worst day, when you committed the worst of sins, he wasn't cheering your sin on, but he never stopped loving you. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the love of God.
The Apostle Paul, who wrote that in Philippians, understood the love of God. He was a persecutor of Christians. He killed Christians. And God sent this Jewish scholar to the Gentiles. And he was able to take the gospel throughout Rome. And he wrote these letters from Nero's cell. And God used him to change the lives of so many people. He made it into the house of Caesar. And he was able to overcome all of these physical ailments to spread the gospel. This man understood the love of God. Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's what you need to start doing when people hate on you and when they come to attack you and want to throw stones at you. You just need to say, who are you to speak like way about God's elect? I had a lady in my office today, and I won't embarrass her even though she wouldn't mind. She kept saying, I'm God's favorite. I said, you are, sister. You God's favorite. That's the attitude we ought to have if we know who we are in Christ. I'm telling you, people want to act like they're poor and pitiful and God doesn't love them and they're just barely getting by. That's not what God's word says. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Verse 37, Romans 8. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I'm thankful for his lordship, but I'm thankful for his love. Amen. And once you get to a certain level in your Christian walk, you'll get to where I'm fixing to go into number three. You're even be thankful for his law. Number three, I'm thankful for the law of God. Listen to what Psalms 119 says. I love this. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let I pray your merciful kindness be for my comfort. According to your word and to your servant, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. Romans 5 teaches us about the justification by faith. That through one man's offense, judgment came on all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. What does that mean? That means one person can change the world. And Jesus changed the world. And I mean, through one mistake, you can reorder history. You can bring a curse. But I'm telling you, if you can tap into Jesus just one moment of your life, it can change your life and it can change your world if you will sell out for Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thankful for the law of God tonight. I love what it says in verse 20, Romans 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the law. The law keeps you on track. The law at Mount Sinai, as I've said many times, was to be a mirror. It was so that we would look at ourselves and realize that we fall short and that we need a Savior, that we need a sacrifice. And that's what it's all about. The law keeps you on track. Listen, we're saved by grace, but if you truly know Jesus, you're going to want to do right. You're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to learn about his word and his statutes. Oh, but I'm thankful for the Lamb of God tonight. I'm thankful for the Lamb of God tonight. I'm telling you, the only way I ever came to know the Lord was through Jesus Christ. John would say, once he saw Jesus coming towards him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water, but this one will baptize with fire. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the Lamb of God tonight. I'm thankful for who Jesus was, man. I'm thankful for the sacrifice that he gave. You know, born in a manger in Bethlehem, raised there in Nazareth, crucified at Calvary, down into the grave for 3 days, took the keys of the devil, got up out of the grave on the third day, and rose from the grave. His mother saw him, the disciples. He commissioned the church. 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of God, and he is praying for you right now. He lives to make intercession for you, his word says. And not only that, he's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a church. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. No matter what you've done, where you are, what your struggle is tonight, if you'll call on the name that is above every name, that name that we know one day every knee shall bow, every Islamic knee shall bow, every demonic knee shall bow, every murderer's knee shall bow, every demonic entity that's ever roamed this earth and these wilderness ways will bow their knee to the name that is above every name. His name is Jesus Christ. We don't have to die for him. He died for us. Amen. We don't need a suicide bomb on our back to prove ourselves to him, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm thankful that when we're at our worst, he's at his best. Amen. I'm thankful that Christianity isn't about how good I am. It's about how good he is. And we just get to cheer him on because he is the one who created us. Oh, I'm thankful that he's the Lamb of God, which means he's the God of revelation. Amen. That's what the Lamb was. It was a picture of what was to come. And I'm telling you, he's a God of revelation. He'll give you revelation knowledge. He'll quicken things in your spirit. He'll point things out to you that you could never see with the natural eye. He is the God of revelation. Oh, but he's the God of restoration. Oh, he's a God of restoration. I don't care if your marriage is broken, he'll restore it. That's what he does. He's in the restoration business. I don't care if you're addicted or broken or busted or you've made mistakes. He's not just the God of revelation, he's the God of restoration. He loves to fix things. He especially loves to fix things that he'll get the glory for. You see, I don't want the glory if God fixes you. But if he gets the glory, he'll fix you in a much more timely fashion than if I tried to fix you. I can't fix you, but he can fix you. Oh, but he's not just the God of revelation, the God of restoration. He's the God of righteousness. Oh, he's the Lamb of God. He was a spotless lamb. Let me tell you something. He's a God that I said, he's not a homeboy. He's a righteous God. He takes this stuff seriously, man. And when you sin against him, the Spirit will quicken that to you through his revelatory power. And once he does that, you've got to bow and you've got to repent when you've sinned against God. He takes those things very serious. He's a God of righteousness. But I'm not just thankful for the Lamb of God tonight. I'm thankful for the lessons from God. See, the first four things tonight are characteristics of God. Now I'm going to talk to you about some things we receive from God. I'm thankful for the lessons from God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm thankful for the lessons in God's Word that we have. I'm telling you, we got 66 books, man. We've got lessons. In every struggle I've ever been through in my life, I'm telling you, there's an answer in God's Word. There's an answer. Now, I may not have found it in time, or I may not have been diligent enough to search out the mysteries of God, but I'm telling you, there's an answer to every problem you've ever had right here, if you'll get in God's Word. What are some lessons that we learn in God's Word? First of all, we learn the answer to the question, what's important? Jesus makes it very simple, loving him and loving others. He boils the whole, all the commandments down to that, loving God and loving others. What's worthwhile? Serving others. What's necessary? Worship and prayer. What does God look at? We learn from King David, he looks at our hearts, doesn't he? The man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. What is God trying to do in us? Mold us and shape us into the kind of witnesses for him we ought to be. We learn that lesson in God's Word. What will get you through difficult times? His Word and the hope promised in his Word. I'm thankful for the lessons of God tonight. I'm thankful that those lessons have helped sustain me. I wouldn't be here without them. I'm not only thankful for the lessons of God, I'm thankful for the language from God. The language from God. Oh, I'm telling you, he speaks a different language than we do. Oh, and I'm not just talking about tongues. Yeah, that's part of it. When the Holy Spirit fills you, yeah, that's a heavenly language. I'm talking God speaks to his people and we hear it. God speaks to his people. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day into day it pours forth speech. Night after night displays knowledge. There is no speech nor language heard where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words into the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Oh, there's a mighty language from God. He speaks his own language. And if you know him, you can understand how he speaks to us. I'm telling you, he speaks to us through, first of all, creation. I mean, if you can't look at the creation, these mountains, these streams, these oceans, if you've traveled to Israel, if you've traveled to Greece, if you've been anywhere in the world and you just look at the countryside, do you think that stuff got here by accident? Do you think it just accidentally, these mountains accidentally molded, that there wasn't a great flood, that the earth wasn't shaken, it wasn't created by a sovereign God? Oh, I'm telling you, he speaks to us through creation. When you see what he's created, he is speaking to you. That's why the Bible teaches that no matter where you live or if you've ever even seen a Bible, you can know God through his creation. His language is his creation. Oh, he speaks to us not only through creation, through covenant. I'm telling you, some of you are the living examples of a grandmother that prayed. I'm telling you, there are covenant, there are things that are passed down, and I don't even understand it all. But I believe with all my heart that for every generation, there are people that prayed generations before. There are people that spoke things into existence, and some of us are living proof of things that were spoken hundreds of years ago. We're fulfilling promises and answered prayers from grandmother and great-grandmother and grandfather. There are things that happen. I'm telling you, he speaks through creation, but he speaks through covenant. Oh, but pastor will love this. He doesn't just speak through covenant. He speaks through the comforter. Amen. The Holy Spirit will come on you and give you that heavenly language. It's much debate in the Baptist world, although they've changed their philosophy now and missionaries can speak in tongues. I got news for them. They never stopped. Amen. Because if you're on the mission field and you're risking your life to preach the gospel, you need a language that is above everything this world has to offer. You need to be able to get to God in a way that other people can't get to him. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It just means you're desperate enough to cry out to God and call upon the name that is above every name. Some people got so much religion they'll never get the relationship that God wants them to have. I'm telling you, he speaks through the comforter. Oh, I'm thankful for the language of God through creation and covenant and through the comforter. But I close tonight with this. I'm thankful for the laughter from God. Oh my goodness. I'm thankful for the laughter from God. You know, I think God laughs at us sometimes. I think we get so stressed out about life and these minuscule problems we're going through and these minor dramas, and we're so worked up about it, we're losing sleep and we're dealing with this stress and this struggle. Sometimes I think God just laughs at us and says, man, they don't have any faith. They worry too much. I think God laughs at us. I'm thankful for the laughter from God. I'm telling you, sometimes it's just funny. I mean, I don't know if I got ADHD, ADD, OCD, whatever D you can think of, or I just misbehaved as a kid. I'm not real sure what I had. I'm sure I had something. But I mean, I'm kind of like my middle one. I read. I couldn't sit still. I mean, I just was a fool all the time. Dad will tell you, I nearly drove him and Mom crazy. I mean, and they would take me on these road trips and they would go preach places. I mean, they had me late, so they were old, you know, and I was still young and full of energy. So Dad would preach somewhere in the mornings and I would get bored. And so him and Mom would sleep in one bed. I'd be over in the bed by myself. I wasn't tired, you know, I'd just sit there. And so I'd play a game. When they'd fall asleep, I'd get off the bed and I'd get in front of Mom's face like this. When she's dead asleep and try to scare her. Well, it didn't work out so well. One day I got down, you know, about 7 years old, I crawled out and I just stared at Mom like this while she's sleeping, you know, about an inch from her face. She woke up and went, "Oh, Ryan!" And then so Dad rolled off the bed. Next thing I know, he's got the belt and he's chasing me. He's trying to beat me, you know. And I I laughed so hard, he was hitting me and I was laughing, then he was laughing. We couldn't even gather our composure. I mean, I'm thankful for the laughter that God brings. I mean, oh, man, we've had some fun over the years. I ain't gonna tell you about the time mom set the alarm off, couldn't turn it off, and dad was beating the smoke alarm half naked. I don't want to get into that tonight. But it got crazy. We've seen some fun stuff over the years. But I'm telling you, God is a hilarious God, man. God likes us to have fun in church. God likes us to laugh. And I hope this Thanksgiving, I hope you laugh. Hope you have a little fun. Hope you won't take life as serious as we've been taking it. Because I'm going to tell you this, life's short, man. Life's short. Have some fun. Enjoy God. Psalms 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. I'm telling you, has the Lord done something for you tonight? If he has, give him praise tonight. If the Lord has done something for you, give him praise. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Romans 15 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, and one of my favorite books of the Bible, you know, is Ecclesiastes. And I love what Solomon says. And also, their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore they will have a share in anything done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Oh, I'm telling you, he's a God of laughter tonight. He's a God of joy. He wants to give you joy. I'm thankful for the Lordship of Christ, the love of God, the language of God, the lessons of God, the law of God, and the laughter from God.
I'm telling you, some of you need to laugh a little bit. You take things so seriously. I'm thankful for the laughter of God. I don't believe God is nearly as serious as we are. So why don't you laugh this Thanksgiving season? Why don't you enjoy your family? You're not guaranteed another day with them. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your grandkids. Enjoy God and His favor on your life. That's what it's all about. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you'll be thankful for Abba's House and this ministry. We invest in the world so that people can live free and fully alive. So I'm thankful for this ministry, and I know you are too. Happy Thanksgiving.
At Abba's House, we're reimagining church. Lead Pastor Ronnie Phillips has a bright new vision for the future. Our kids' spaces are getting a makeover. Our students have fun and learn life lessons at the same time. Small groups for all ages help you get connected and find friends to do life with. Musical opportunities are available for every generation. And serving Chattanooga is our passion. Check us out online, download our app, and come give us a try as we reimagine what church is. Come experience a house of grace. Come experience Abba's House.
This program was made possible by the generous donations from friends and partners of Abba's House Media. Connect with us today on our website, through the Abba's House app, and through social media. Thanks for watching.